To start a new series on creation, and I'm going to teach. A lot of stuff with a lot of slides, and I hope not to just do death by PowerPoint. That is not my goal. My goal is to have you to be a blessing to you today. Now, in the Bible, if you'll take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. If you were not with me last Sunday, where I taught on biblical authority, you need to watch that message. It was a bridge message to this series. Because nothing I say matters if you don't believe the Bible's true. No amount of proof can be brought to bear if you're unwilling to look at it. And so over the next several weeks, I'm going to teach on the age of the earth. I'm going to teach on, I think this thing is having a struggle. Oh, that's why it's parked over here. That's why. Sorry, my bad. All right, is that going to work now? There it works. Sorry, there it works. Okay. I was having a little trouble with the tech. Remember, the devil's always in the tech, but thank God we've got a cyber saint who helps me fix with this. So all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now, last week, I kind of harped on it. I know I do that from time to time. And I harped on it, and I said either God is or God isn't. Now, you're going to have to decide, all right? But if God is, then can he? Either God can or he can't. Either God can make this world, either God can give you his word, either God can preserve it so that you have it today, because he promised he did. In Psalm 12, God promised he would preserve his word to all generations. So you either got it or you don't. Amen. All right? We either have it on this planet or we don't. Either God is or he isn't. Either God can or he can't. Either God did or he didn't. And it's that way with everything that's taught in the Bible. You're going to have to ask yourself, is God God? Is he God? Because if he's not, then we're wasting our time. Now, the Bible says all scripture, that's the parts I like and the parts I don't like. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God breathed. And it is profitable. That means it's good for me. It will help me. And it's good for what? It's good for doctrine, teaching, what's true, what's right. And for reproof, that's what's not right. And for correction, that's how to get right. And for instruction in righteousness. It is profitable. It is good for me. And it's not what does the Bible say. The question is, do you believe what the Bible says? The Bible says also in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God. That means to set God apart as first place in your heart. So sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. Why do you believe what you believe? Because that's what Mama told me. Because that's what we've always believed. No, it's time. Listen, Christians are people, the lost world thinks we don't think for ourselves, and that's wrong. You should think for yourself. You need to know why what you believe, and you need to know why you believe what you believe, and you need to be able to share it with other people. Now, I have three goals for this series of messages. I want to strengthen your faith in God's word. We're going to talk about creation, the age of the earth. Now, we're not going to all do it in one shot, okay? It's going to be over the next several weeks. And we're going to talk about the flood and dinosaurs and what does the Bible have to say about all these things and how can you know your Bible is true? Number two, if you're not saved, I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I really do. I'm out to get you. I really am. I want you to know. I'm not hiding it. The greatest event that ever happened to me in my life was to come to know Christ as my personal Savior. Amen. Right? It was the best thing that happened to me for her, too. I think God did it to me just so she wouldn't have to be married to a lost man any longer. If you're saved and you're not doing much for the Lord, I want to make you uncomfortable because everybody, every Christian has a purpose in God's kingdom. And you say, well, I don't feel comfortable talking to people. Well, then, look, if you're not going to work on the front line, carry the bullets for somebody who will. You know, help somebody, support somebody. There is something that you can do that will help get the job done. All right? Now, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, let me ask you this question before I get into this. Do you think today's society has somehow caught God off guard? That he's sitting up on his throne in heaven going, I don't know what I'm going to do. This next election's coming up and I can't go either way. I mean, really, you think God is freaking out? Do you think God is unaware? Either God is or he isn't. There's three words in the English language we had to create to explain God's character. One is omnipotent, which means all-powerful. That means there's nothing outside of God's ability. He's all-powerful. And then he's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. You can't get away from him. Trying to run from God is foolish. He's there. Amen. If you could travel at the speed of light, you still couldn't keep up with God. Right? Number three, omniscient, or I like to call it omniscience, you know what I'm saying? Because that's how you spell it correctly. Omniscience means he knows everything. Has it ever dawned on you that nothing's ever dawned on God? So knowing this first, now this was written some 1930 years ago. Well, it'll be less than that, wouldn't it, Brother Jim? 1900, I don't know, it was probably 60 AD, so you do the math, you get me, right? 1900, somebody do the math. Does anybody here knows how to do math with their shoes on? Okay, some 1,970 years ago, Peter wrote this. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. A scoffer is somebody who sees revealed truth and goes, I don't want to live that. And they turn their back on revealed truth. Why did they do that? They're walking after their own lusts. I'm going to do my truth. Why? Because my truth fits me better. That's why you don't go looking. When you folks move with the military or the government, don't go looking for a church that fits you. Go find a church that's closest to the Bible. Because it's the standard, not you. That's what it says. Now the Bible says, and saying, this is what they're saying. Where is the promise of his coming? You Baptists have been talking about Jesus' return for 2,000 years. And all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Why did I highlight that? All things continue. Because that is the definition of uniformitarianism. And that is the foundation of evolution. That everything that you see going on right now is how it's always gone on for billions and billions of years. That's the definition of evolution. Isn't it interesting that 1,970-some years ago, God wrote this in his book? There would be people who would scoff at the Bible and mock and say, hey, it's always been this way. For this, next verse, for this they are willingly ignorant. Now, there are three things that they willingly ignore. I used to say they're dumb on purpose, but really the honest answer is they willingly ignore three things. By the word of God, the heavens were of old. That means creation. And that the earth standing out of the water and in the water. They're willingly ignoring how creation went, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. That's the flood. They're willingly ignoring the flood. This is all 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So the problem we're having is, excuse me, there we go, new technology. The scoffers are willingly ignoring the creation, the flood, and the coming judgment of God. That's what they want to ignore. I've got people in my family that are like that. They assume that ignorance or feigned ignorance is somehow going to give them an out on the day of judgment. Now, my aim for this message is to counter the claim that the Bible is not good for science, that it's just a bunch of stories, moral stories like Aesop's fables, and to show that you got to put on the whole armor of God if you're going to live in this world and stand for Jesus and be a light to those who live in darkness. Because 75% of all kids raised in Christian homes will deny their faith their first year of college. That's 3 out of 4. Now you tell me which 3 children downstairs out of 4 you're willing to sacrifice on the altar of whatever God this world worships. By the time they hit college, and many more, it's in high school now, they are denying the faith they were raised in. How did that happen? Well, because the foundations have been destroyed, the Bible says in Psalms 11:3. Well, what is the foundation of Christianity? The foundation of Christianity is the Bible, which is God's word. It's laughed at. It's mocked. Nobody pays attention to it anymore. This is why we have to teach it. It is the foundation. Well, what's the foundation of the Bible? The beginning. The beginning. These are the things covered in Genesis 1 through 11. You have the creation. You have the fall, you have the curse, you've got Cain and Abel, the genealogy, the stuff that puts you to sleep actually is part of the beginning. It explains how humanity came into being. It explains how humanity spread across the world through the Tower of Babel. Through the intervention of God, mankind migrated all over the world. We have found, archaeologically found, the Tower of Babel and its foundation. It's a ziggurat, a step pyramid in Mesopotamia. We have found the five cities of the plain covered in ash, Sodom and Gomorrah and the unnamed ones. We have found Noah's Ark. And the Turkish government built a welcome center right there on the site saying, this is Noah's Ark. But yet, everybody mocks the Bible. Well, why is it a big deal to us Christians? Because every foundational truth you and I have in the Bible is founded in Genesis. It's called the law of first mention. Wherever you find something mentioned, it sets the tone and scope of everything throughout the rest of the Bible. And the Genesis is the seedbed of the Bible for every major doctrine, atonement. That God's plan was a substitute. Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what did God do? He killed an animal and made a blood sacrifice and covered them with skins. You can only skin an animal once. In chapter 4, when Cain and Abel came to worship God, Abel brought a blood sacrifice, the firstling of the flock, a baby lamb. Cain brought his own religious offering of works of his hands. You cannot work your way to heaven. It's always been about a substitute. So if you deny the foundation, which is Genesis, well then, you don't have salvation. You don't have eternal security. Heaven's not real. Hell's not real. Why are we bothering? Now, Satan's greatest attack is against God's word. Because if you can get people to doubt God's word, but the problem is Christianity has a way of fighting each other, arguing with each other. And some people are asleep. Some people are too busy shooting other Christians. Other people are too busy playing around. And what's happening is the moral foundation of our world, which was based on the Bible, is falling apart because it was founded on the Word of God. And the ones on the right are all man's opinions. It feels good to it. So, what does the Bible actually say? In Colossians 2 and verse 8, it says, beware. Now again, this was written in like 60 AD, 70 AD. Paul was writing to the church at Colossae and he said, beware lest any man spoil you. Now in 1611 English, that means somebody who takes and steals from you. How are they going to do that? They're going to steal from you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. They're going to use the world around you. They're going to use it for their justification. 1 Timothy 6:20, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, O Timothy, keep that which has committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of science falsely so-called. 1970 years ago, Paul wrote this to Timothy, and he said, they're going to use fake science. They're going to use fake science. The religion of man is humanism. And I've got to point it at this thing, I guess. Did God see this coming? Yes. Theology is atheism. Their doctrine is evolution. I told you I had to take Calculus 1 three times. I'm a slow learner. First two times I got a D. Then I decided I'd read the introduction to the calculus books. And in there I got some good insight from the author. But the very first words of the introduction were billions and billions of years ago. Now the Bible says in Romans 1, if you want to follow along so you're sure I'm not misquoting it, I'm happy to let you do that. There's a Bible in front of you. In Romans 1 and 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now let's talk about that for a second. The fact that you're sitting in here means there was somebody in your ancestral lineage that was alive at the time of Jesus. Did you know that having children is hereditary? If your parents didn't have any, you won't have any either. That's a joke. You get it? That'll hit you at lunch. You'll laugh and so it'll come out your nose. The truth is, somebody, because they always throw this in my face when I'm witnessing people. Well, what about those lost tribes on the Polynesian islands out in the South Pacific? Never seen a missionary. Somewhere up their family tree, they had the truth. That's right. And they turned their back on it and they decided not to teach it to their kid. Neither were they thankful for the things God had done, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Remember, I asked you over the last several weeks, do you feel that the Word of God and God's commandments don't apply to you? They don't apply to me because you're so smart, because you know what's coming next year, because you can see the future. There's a joke going around. It's been around for decades. We should hire a teenager to be president because they know everything. I said in Sunday school today, I was 23 when I got married and I knew how to raise kids, but I wouldn't have kids for another 4 years. Little laugh on John. The older I get, the less I know. Huh? They became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image make like unto corruptible men, something they could define. They redefined God to suit them. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You ever wonder why they worship the cow or they worship the fish? Because it's something they could define and control. Verse 24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own bodies to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. That includes you. When you and your desires and your lifestyle trumps the word of God, takes precedence over the word of God, you've elevated yourself and worshiped yourself. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Go on, help yourself. That's what God says. If you can't learn from instruction, then you'll learn from experience. Experience is the best teacher if you're too dumb to learn any other way, is how my preacher would say it. Now, I'm not trying to be angry or be mean. I want to show you the truth. He gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which was against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Sound familiar? Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. There was 2 shootings on Highway 1 yesterday. Are we becoming a more kinder and gentler, evolved species? Murder, debate, deceit, malignity is the desire to see somebody killed. Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, people who think they know everything and everything ought to be their way because they're so stinking smart. Don't you know that? Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. So is God caught off guard? No, God said this is how it's going to be. Without understanding, they just don't understand what it's going to be like when the chickens come home to roost. They're not going to understand the consequence until it happens. Covenant breakers, without natural affection. Implacable. It means you cannot placate them. You cannot satisfy them. You can't make them happy. Anybody seeing that today? Unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, knowing God doesn't like this, that they should commit such things, are worthy of death, not only do the same. They know God doesn't like this. They don't care. They do not care. They have pleasure in them that do them. So topics we're going to cover. We're going to cover the original creation, the Big Bang. The earth is not billions of years old. What does the Garden Eden of like? Why did they live 900 plus years before the flood? Where are the dinosaurs? What happened? Paul said to Timothy, listen, you need to preach the word. Get out there and tell people because they don't know this naturally. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Why? Because listen, Timothy, the time has come. He told Timothy 1,970 years ago, the time will come. Hello, you live in this time. When they will not endure sound doctrine. Don't tell me what the Bible says. But after their own lusts, they're going to find teachers that say what they like. That's what that means. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to shock you, but there are parts of the Bible I don't like. I wish God hadn't put in there, but I didn't write it. And if I'm going to believe, I mean, it's silly, isn't it, to believe that God loves you and is going to take you to heaven and save you and keep you for eternity, but you won't believe the other things God wrote? Yeah. That's kind of silly, isn't it? See, what happens is you elevate yourself above the authority of Scripture and pick and choose the pieces you like and deny and cast doubt on the things you don't like. That's what people do. You need to grapple with this right now, because either God is or he isn't. Either God did or he didn't. Either God can or he can't. Either God will or he won't. And you're going to have to decide this for yourself. Well, I want people to think I'm smart. There's a lot of Christians out there who are. But my dad always said people are smart, but the public's crazy. Wow, it got quiet in here. He said, their ears will be turned away from the truth and they shall be turned unto fables. That which is not true. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Get out there and tell people. So why teach this? You're not going to hear this other places. And I want to change your worldview. What is a worldview? The worldview, your worldview is the paradigm with which you see things and interpret the world around you. That which you consider to be truth, that you can stand on and trust and interpret what you don't understand by that truth that you know. So it's very important what your worldview is. Our worldview determines the context in which we interpret the world around us. So I'm going to give you a little example here. Have you ever seen a calf puller? Anybody? It's a calf puller. There was a rich man driving down the road, saw this, drove up on this scene, had a cow on his side, had the calf puller on the back, and a man was cranking on the calf puller. And the guy got out and he helped the farmer get the calf out of the baby cow, out of the big cow, you know, little cow out of the big cow. And they were cleaning up and the businessman looked over at the farmer and said, let me ask you a question. How fast was that calf going when it rear-ended the cow? For those of you who are not raised on a farm, a calf puller is how you help a mama birth a baby when they're stuck in the canal. But how can two people look at the world around them and come up with two different interpretations? It's based on your world view. Yes, your world view matters. So one looks at the world and goes, amazing, wow, there was nothing that got squished into a ball and it exploded with power. We don't know where it came from, and nothing created everything. It's what it says in the textbook down the street. Amazing. That's the humanist worldview. They're God and the answer to no one. Oh, about, I don't know, 20 billion years ago, there was everything got squished into a ball, and then there was a gigantic burp, and then at 4.6 years ago, the earth evolved, and it rained on the rocks for a million years, and out of this primordial soup, a single-celled animal jumped into being. Now, listen, if I'm making you mad, I don't mean to. They've recreated the chemicals in the lab, but they've yet to create life. That's right. Just because you can follow a recipe. You know, the atheist said to God, I can make a world. And he says, show me. And the atheist reached down to grab a bundle of dirt. And he goes, God goes, no, get your own dirt. Right? 3.5 billion years ago, a single-celled organism came into being, found somebody to marry and procreate with. And about 3 million years ago, humans evolved from ape-like creatures. Time, chance, natural selection. That's the humanistic worldview. Their doctrine is evolution. Creationists believe, wow, this is an ordered world we live in with laws that are unshakable. Gravity is an unshakable law, centrifugal force, angular momentum. And there's all these things that are ordered and work every single time. There must be a designer. This is the creationist worldview that affirms the second law of thermodynamics, that things do not, that order does not come from chaos. So the creation model is that about 6,000 years ago, that all-powerful, almighty God created the heavens and the earth, and that sin brought death into the world. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood that destroyed everything. Worldwide cataclysmic flood, cataclysmic, I should say. And then about 2,000 years ago, God died on a cross for us. And here we are waiting for his return. Man was created in God's image, and he created all things. Now, there are four great questions that every religion tries to answer and all philosophies try to answer. Number one, who am I and what am I worth? If you're an evolutionist or a humanist, you believe you're worthless. You're actually part of the problem. You're the polluter of the world. This is Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. She wrote that the Asian and the African should not be allowed to breed in great number. You should really pay attention to what people say. You're the problem. We need to reduce population. This is what Bill Gates believes. He believes the world's overpopulated. You know what? If it's crowded where you live, you've obviously not seen New Mexico or West Texas. You know they're giving away 10 acres for $10,000 right now outside of El Paso. And you think, well, that's just crazy. It's desert. Guess what? The city's going to envelop you and bring you water and bring you sewer and bring you power, and you'll own 10 acres. If it's too crowded where you are, trust me, we're going to see how that's a problem. Not only who am I and where did I come from? Well, you're protoplasm washed up on the beach, and you're from an event that's an accident. And that's why if it feels good, do it. That's why abortion makes sense to lost people, because you're just an animal. You're an accident. Makes sense. Why am I here? You have no purpose. So if it feels good, do it. Where am I going when I die? You're going back to dirt. You're going back to dirt to be recycled into a plant or a worm or whatever. But if you're a creationist, if you believe the Bible is true, then you believe you're the purpose God created this world for. So you'd have a place to inhabit. That he made you specifically. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Why am I here? Why am I here? For God's purpose. It says he created us everything for his pleasure. Where am I going when I die? Well, smoking or not. I mean, if you trust Christ as your Savior, you get to go to heaven. If you don't. Now, is it possible that these two worldviews could come together? I mean, could have God used evolution? The answer to that question is no. Why? Because the atheists will tell you that the laws of Christ are incompatible with the law of evolution. Christians will tell you that. Sir Isaac Newton, the father of modern mathematics, said, atheism is senseless. When I look at the solar system, I see the earth at the right distance from the sun to receive the proper amounts of heat and light. This did not happen by chance. So, you can trust your Bible. Why? Because if you read it, it will prove itself to you in spiritual matters, in Bible stories, because they're historical records of what actually happened. And wherever the Bible speaks of science, it speaks with 100% accuracy. And history, wherever the Bible says people lived, people lived. We're finding it through archaeology. So what is it that a creationist believes? What does the Bible say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how everything came into being. Now the Bible says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. The things I can see and the things I can't see. Look, evolution goes unchallenged. Because nobody will stand up and say, wait a second, where is your proof? But the thing is, evolutionary thinking and humanism did not start with Darwin and Sagan and those guys, or Marx. It started in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 3, chapter 1, the Bible says, and the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. See, Satan is created. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Question mark. All apostasy is when you question the word of God. Now, you're welcome to question it. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you should look up where we got our Bible. You should learn the struggle we went through to get it and get it in English, because it was persecuted and people were carrying and sneaking the Bible into different parts of the country or the world even today, and they're dying for it. You should study that history. Go ahead and question. You'll find truth. But whenever you question God's word, you're doing it for the motive of casting doubt. Ye shall not, yea, hath God said? Then the second step is, ye shall not surely die. Okay, now you're denying God's word. Now you're denying that God's word is not true. And then lastly, he says, ye shall become like gods, knowing good and evil. Your eyes will be open. This is the deification of man. This is all humanism is the deification of man. Carl Sagan did not come up with that. That's a joke. You'll get that at lunch. All right. But listen, if you want to, look, I'm a science fiction nut. Anybody else in here? I'm a Trekkie big time. But the truth is, humanism is wanting to be God, travel the universe, find intelligent life. And people say to me, Pastor, don't you believe there's intelligent life somewhere in the universe? I'm like, there's not much intelligent life here. Right? It's doubtful. See, Lucifer has always wanted to be worshipped. It's always been his desire. It says in Isaiah 14:13, for thou, Lucifer, hast said in thine heart, this came out of his mouth, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High God. 6 times in the Bible, it says when they worship false gods, they are worshiping devils. Because you are who you run with. And 1/3 of the angelic realm rebelled against God. When Satan did, they wanted to be worshipped. But this same idea of deifying man is Satan. See, Satan can't be God. The job's already full. You realize, right? God don't share. So to throw it in God's face, he has created religions that deify man. Here is the official Mormon doctrine from the Gospel Principles, page 289. It says, we can become gods like our Heavenly Father. This is exaltation. Unfortunately, ladies, that only goes for men. You get to go to heaven and have spirit babies and be pregnant for eternity. Mrs. Mix isn't interested in that version of heaven. She doesn't think being pregnant for eternity is heaven. You can look that up right now on Google. You can go to their book. Kenneth Copeland, the richest pastor in America with a fleet of 14 jets, says, you do not have a God in you, you are one. Kenneth Hagin, also part of the prosperity gospel movement. This is who we are. We're Christ. No, I'm sorry. The Bible speaks very differently. For by him, that's Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. You're here because God wanted you here. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. God made two genders. Did he get it wrong? No, he defined it by biology, not sociology. He defined it. We are what God said we are. Yeah, well, I was raised with same-sex attraction. Yes. And God made you that way. Well, we're all sinners. So yeah, sinful desires. We all have them. Welcome to the human race. But just because I have a desire to punch you in the face does not mean I should act upon it because God commands against it. Well, that's just Old Testament. That's just really outdated thinking. You know what's wrong with everybody under the age? Well, I'm not here. I better be careful. I'm not looking at you, but everybody, most people under the age of 30 don't know how to behave because they've never been punched in the face. I've come to realize this. I put in a petition for a public service opportunity here, but they won't let me. I mean, who else gets up in your face, gets off your nose, and screams so that what you're trying to say doesn't get heard? Somebody who's never been punched in the face. I learned not to do that when I was 6 on the playground. You say, well, that's just terrible. Well, then you tell me the why they behave the way they are, and you can't have a conversation with them. You can't have an honest, critical thinking conversation with these people because they have no fear because nobody's deflinched them. I mean, seriously, do you walk up to people and scream? Why? How many got punched in the face? Okay, the rest of you line up later. We'll take care of that. But it's true. I don't act that way because I've been, anyway. Now that got on the internet, Brother Jim. It's going to go everywhere. Pastor's abusive. No, but Satan hates you. Satan can't be God, even though he wants to be God. So he throws it in God's face by deifying mankind. That's what he does. And he is mocking it. He is mocking God. That's why all of this garbage that comes out in our society, it is the destruction and tearing up of the image of God. It is. We are created special. And he answered and said to them, have you not read? Now this is Jesus speaking. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? So let me ask you a question. Was Jesus lying? Did Jesus not understand modern science? When was the beginning? Now remember, it's silly for you to think that the Jesus who died on the cross and is going to, who saved you and sealed you and is going to take you to heaven and everything's going to be really pretty, but you don't believe when he wrote about what the creation was. 25 times he verbally quoted the book of Genesis. Over 200 references in the New Testament to the book of Genesis. For if he had believed Moses, Jesus said, who wrote Genesis? Moses. If you'd believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how do you believe my words? Salvation, atonement, eternal security, the soul liberty of a believer all falls on creation. If it's not true, then none of it's true. Jesus said, if I've told you earthly things and you believe me not, how should you believe if I tell you heavenly things? For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. There are 66 references in the Old Testament to that phrase. In 6 days. So if it's not true, then none of your Bible's true. Now either God is or he isn't. How big is your God? Now I want to help you. I want to help you. I have an iPhone. It is the brainchild of who? Steve Jobs. Is Steve Jobs inside my phone turning ones to zeros? I keep him awful. Some of you keep him real busy if he's in there. There a virtual copy of Steve Jobs in there making changes? No, Steve Jobs is bigger, more complex, and is outside of his creation. Let that sink in for a second. So is our universe massive? Yes. So that means by the law of causality, that the God who created it is bigger and more powerful and outside of and not bound by the creation he created. Now, I know that hurts, but you need to let God expand your thinking a little farther. He's bigger than what you're facing right now. He's bigger than your past. He's bigger than your neglect. He's bigger than your betrayals. He's bigger than those that have hurt you. He's bigger. For in 6 days. The question is not, what does the Bible say? The question is, will you believe it? All of it, not some of it. It is a sign between me. He's talking about Sabbath, but he says in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Listen, everybody wants to make this a science and religion debate, but I'm here to tell you, nobody was at the beginning to eyewitness it. Have we ever heard of anybody who ever saw anybody who ever thought of anybody that was there billions of years ago? No. Well, we don't know of anybody or thought of anybody that was there when God did day one, except God who wrote it down. So why do we care about this? Because the credibility of the book of Genesis is at stake. Can the average person understand it? Yes. Okay. Now, the credibility of Jesus is at stake. Okay, and nearly every other book of the Bible refers to Genesis, and the evolutionists care because the entire theory looks silly if you don't hide it in billions and billions of years. Hitler said, if you tell a lie long enough and often enough and loud enough, people will believe it. And people are more willing to believe a big lie than a small one. My friend Kent Hovind, at 6 years old, had two older brothers. And he went into the kitchen to get the last, and he had a banana. And he was going to put it on his Cheerios. Anybody put bananas on their Cheerios? Okay, y'all need to work on this, okay? Got to work with me. It's the best thing ever. Get a banana, slice it up, throw it in with your Cheerios. It's awesome. So he got there before his brothers. How many of you got older siblings? Isn't it great when you get one over on them? Isn't it feel good? Well, he got the last banana, and they came in. Now, older brothers do not beg for something from a little brother. They take it by brute force, or they trick you out of it. So they're like, hey, Kent, do you know where bananas came from? No. He's 6 years old. Well, there's these spiders that live in the trees in South America, and when they die, their legs come together and get full of mold, and they turn into a banana. He's like, no, yeah. For 3 years, he didn't eat a banana. You know what convinced him? When they said to cut open the banana and see the dark spots in the middle, those were the legs of the spiders. See, we've been doing this for millennia. See, if you want a truth, if you want to trick somebody, you got to give them truth mixed in with a little bit of error. Do you see that? Rat food is 99.995 good food. Rat poison is only 0.0005 poison. So when the rat eats it, he thinks he's getting a bucket full of good food. Now, we've been doing it with commercials and stuff like that forever, and I'm running out of time. Look, I'm not against science. I'm just against the poison in the science books. A lot of good science in the science books. A lot of great educators in our church who do their best to model Christ to kids every single day. But Hitler said, give me the textbooks and I'll control the state. A lot of good science in these books. A lot of good science. But I'm against the religion that's put in them. This is a first grade textbook. The earth has changed much since its formation 4.5 billion years ago. You tell a six-year-old that the world's billions of years old, they'll believe it, just like they believe bananas are moldy spider legs. Is that education or indoctrination? Second grade textbook. Scientific, it says here, 4.5 billion years ago, the earth has changed. And then look at the bottom, it's got that word evolved. Life, too, has evolved. You know, scientific studies in people's homes have proven that kids don't, their brain doesn't actually even work until they're like 20. Anybody got adult kids that can testify to that? Huh? Right? Well, Pastor, do you believe in evolution? Which kind? There are six kinds of evolution. There's cosmic evolution, which is your Big Bang. They don't know how anything, you know, they don't know what was there. They don't know who gave the engine, the gas for the engine to drive that thing. They don't know where it came from. They don't know anything. But they believe it. And the Bible says in creation, it says in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now listen to this. Being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. What is the Godhead? It's a Trinity. Right? Everybody with me? Stay awake. Trust me, Golden Corral's got plenty of food. You're not going to be run out. Okay? You live in a trinity of trinities. Because everything in this world can be described as time, space, or matter. It's a function of time, space, and matter. But each one of those is a trinity. Because time is past, present, and future. The space is length, width, and height. Matter is gas, liquid, or solid. Everything in this universe can be defined as a trinity of trinities. So it says they're without excuse. Why? Because we look around and see this universe and see the Trinitarian God created a trinity of trinities. What about chemical evolution? Everything evolved from hydrogen. Really? It's a chicken or an egg problem. Well, the fusion of stars. Well, which one came first? You've got to have the elements to make stars, and you've got to have the stars to fuse the elements. No one's ever seen a star form. It's a silent embarrassment of evolution. Now, we see them blow up all the time. About every 30 years, they blow up. If the Earth is billions of years old, why aren't we seeing more than 320 novas? There's so many stars, trillions of stars. No one's ever seen one form. To have all the stars we know about, we would have to have 13.7 a year form for us to see all the ones we see today. What about organic evolution? Where did life come from? We had the big squish and the big spin and the big bang and then millions of years of rain. We don't know where that came from. On these rocks that created this primordial soup where a single cell animal burst into being and found somebody to marry and hand procreate with and was able to procreate things that weren't just single cell. We can produce the chemicals, but we can't produce life. What about macroevolution, changing from one animal to another? Well, Brother Mix, don't you know that there's 340 different types of dogs? That's true. But you know what they all have in common? They're a dog. I mean, Can a five-year-old tell the difference if we play a little game called Which One's Not Like the Other? But evolution says that the wolf, the coyote, and the banana all came from the same thing. Do you know where all the matter came from? No. Do you know where the energy came from? No. Do you know who started that engine to make it go bang? No. That's factual science two blocks away. But when I say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and you go, well, where did God come from? And I say, I don't know. That's religion. That's religion. You see what I'm saying? See, Darwin only changed the label. The Bible says that they always reproduce after their own kind. He called them species. He was a racist, by the way. It says the origin of species by means of natural selection, or, look at the small title, the preservation of favored races. So which race is the most favorite that should be kept? There's one type of evolution that actually works, and you can see it every single day, and it's called microevolution, the variation within kinds, the survival of the fittest. But the thing is, because number six works and is observable and testable, they want you to believe the other five are factual science, even though there is no evidence. And we're going to look at their evidence, or the lack of it, in the future. Here's another science textbook from General Science. It says, stress that the Earth is thought to be 4.5 billion years. Now, like I said, teachers get graded on test scores. I get that. But creation's not on the test. It's not illegal to teach it. It's just not on the test. We've got great teachers in this church who love God, who love their kids, but they're not the ones that write the curriculum, nor are they in charge of the school board. We are, but none of us ever speak up. See, science is the systematic knowledge derived from observation and study. That's what Webster says science really is. So there's two choices. Either the world was, somebody made it, or it made itself. And that's what Stephen Hawking said before he died, that this universe leapt into existence by its own sheer will out of nothingness. So nothing squished and spun, and now we have everything. Nobody ever really witnessed it, so we kind of have to take it on faith. Except God said, hey, Job, you're so smart. Were you there the day I laid the foundation of the earth? I was. The first law of thermodynamics says that matter cannot be created or destroyed. That's science. That's real science. Yeah, well, Genesis says the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Nothing's being created or destroyed anymore. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Humanist Manifesto, I love this. They call it that we exist, that they regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Have you ever thought what universe means? Uni means single. What is verse? A single spoken sentence. We reside in a single spoken sentence. That's their definition. I love the heartburn that must cause them. Here's another textbook. 18 to 20 billion years ago, there was a big bang. All the matter in the universe was squished down to the size of a period, and then boom. They don't know where it came from. Here's another book that says it may have been squished down to no larger than a period. Does your boss like it when you use words like may, possible, maybe, perhaps? But that's science two blocks away. Our tax dollars are funding this religion because it has to be taken on faith. As we're going to see next week, there is ways for you to tell, ways for you to tell. And I'm, for the sake of time, I'm going to skip to the back real quick, and I'll cover the rest of this later. But I want to show you something. If you're ever scuba diving and you find a chest full of coins, right? And you think to yourself, when did the ship sink? Well, you've got a coin in there from 1750, you got another coin in there from 1710, and another coin from 1695. When do you think the ship, now think critically, when do you think the ship sunk? Did it sink in 1695? Who would like, put your hand if you believe that. Do you believe it sunk in 1710? No. Do you believe it sunk in 1750? Not likely. When did it sink? Sometime after 1750. That's called a limiting factor. Next week, we're going to look at the limiting factors. Because the truth is, when you find a dinosaur bone, all you know, it doesn't actually say anything. I don't know if you realize that. Bones don't actually say anything. All you know conclusively when you find a bone in the dirt is that it died. You don't know if it had a baby. You don't know if it had a baby that wasn't the same as them. All you know is you got a bone. And nowhere does it say made by a dinosaur in 70 million BC in Taiwan. It's not stamped. Right? So let me ask you something. What do you believe? Did God create the heavens and the earth? Is he the one, or are you an accident? Because this is a big deal. If God made the world, then he owns it. He makes the rules. And we are guilty of breaking those rules. So let me ask you a question. If we're guilty of making these rules, we will be punished, or we will find a substitute to take our place. And that substitute was Jesus Christ. So if you died today, where would you go? Where would you go? Based on your current worldview. See, you need to know this because you're going to be dead a long time if Jesus doesn't come back pretty soon. And all you get, Christian, is that dash between those dates. So what are you doing with the life God gave you? There's a war going on in this world. It's a war of worldviews. As you're going to see next week, I was at the debate in El Paso. And the El Paso Times came out and said it's science against religion. No, it's two religious beliefs taken by faith based on a worldview. And as a Christian, our worldview is that Christ is the one who died for us and created everything. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Now, next week, we're going to cover a lot more of this. So what is it you believe? Every head bowed and every eye closed. What is your belief based on? I mean, your eternity is being staked on that belief. God's word has always said that he would come, he would provide a substitute for us, and he did. He provided himself, the Son of God, God the Son, the creator of the world, came to his creation and died for it. And all we have to do is trust him as our Savior. He offers us the free gift of salvation. If you'd like to do that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do so, to know for sure heaven's your home. But for you as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, what are you doing to dispel the darkness that's being thrown in the face of everyone? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. In the next few moments, we ask God you would help us as your people, that you would deepen our faith in such a way that it would be unshakable. Father, as we see the truth around us and we see that only through Bible Christianity do we see being played out in the universe around us, Father, let us trust you even more so. And Father, for those who are still on the fence, God, give them the courage to ask questions and to think critically. And Father, make yourself real to them and help them to see the truth of it. Convince them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As she plays and sings, the altar is open. If you'd like to do business with God, if you'd like to talk to him, if you'd like to know for sure heaven's your home, I'm here. Won't you come?
Watch and pray. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart.
Nothing about this life is easy.
Jesus,
it's because we need the Lord. This struggle has been going on for 6,000 years of human existence. It's really not about you, but we get pulled into it. And we've been challenged to pick a side.
Paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our Heavenly Father, we love you, and we are thankful for this opportunity to gather in your house. And we're thankful, Father, for the opportunity to share the truth of your word. We pray, God, today as we go our separate ways, let us honor the moms in our life and the ladies that have been such a blessing to us. And Father, we ask this for your glory. And Father, as we consider these truths that have been shown from the Bible today, let us just embrace them as truth. And Father, continue to help us to ask the right questions, to seek truth, Father, not fables. And Father, in so doing, let us be a light to those who don't know you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. As